you this morning. It's a privilege to be at the Puna Church, because Puna Church, it's a special church, and you're all so special, honestly. You're amazing people, because the Lord blessed you already so much in the past, and I'm sure He will bless you more in the future. Because this morning, when I heard a good Bible study lesson right here at this congregation, right here in the main sanctuary, thank you, Brother Adonis, for doing a good job. Praise be to the Lord, because we have His righteousness as His robe, when He's covering all our sins and all our background. He's giving us future and a great hope. And I went to the children class too. Actually, it's not the children class. It's all already teenagers over there. And I was amazed and blessed over there as well, because I always sneak in over there just to check how many potential candidates we have for the Bible study and for the future of our church. And it's always a privilege to see and to enjoy what we do have, a lot of potential candidates for the baptism someday here in the future. Yes, at least today I would like to go to the first commandment. I remember when I was here last Wednesday night, we had such a great quotations here. We were reading from the Review and Herald some of the statements, and I appreciate so much to Brother, who brought all this quotation? Who was doing the last Wednesday night? Charlie, Brother Charlie. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless your heart. But he is one of the quotes here. He calls upon his church to rouse. Look not to the ministers to do your work. Oh, I like that so much, because I found out I'm not alone. We have the whole team here, the whole church. Sleep not as did the foolish virgins, who had no oil in their lamps, supplied with the oil of the grace of Christ. Should everyone in the church let his light shine forth to the others as God designed, be sure what a work will be done. A living church will be a working church. Bring your power to Jesus. Put them into exercise. Think, meditate, watch, and pray. May the Lord bless us as we will go into the Bible study right now. Let us pray. Our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, bless us right now as we already prayed and talked to you, but bless us once again as we will concentrate on your word and rededicate our lives to you. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember when I was in Uzbekistan, I grew up over there in the south of Russia. We kind of faced our work right from the beginning after seminary, when we started to work with the Muslim people. They're young people. I wanted to challenge you a little bit here. Have you ever tried to talk with any Muslim people in your life? You know what? They're looking at us as a Christians, what we are kind of different people out of this world, and we're trying to promote something to them unusual, because they already have their own system. They believe according to how the Muslims believe. And when we started to knock on the doors and invite them to our environment, to our church, we found out it's not working. They're not coming. We needed to go to their places, to their homes, and organize church directly to them. I remember how I was doing. Can you see anything over here? Or we can adjust the slide a little bit. I remember when we were doing the Bible studies, right in their homes, right trying to approach them right in their environment. It changed the whole situation when we started to organize their churches, where their own local people started to get involved, and they did Bible studies, they did even baptisms in the future. But it's supposed to start with a small little group, and you will see what the Lord will provide if you will just not be ashamed of the power of the gospel, which we just learned this morning once again at the teenagers class. It was a power of the gospel which the Lord is providing for you and me. And the Lord allowed for me to experience my first baptisms right here in 1994, actually. It was happening right here. My first baptism, when I'm baptizing the first girl over here. She was a Muslim. And next to us, it's a president from the conference. He came over from the Tashkent city, from capital, more than 3 million people over there. In the whole entire Uzbekistan, we had 25 million people. 25 million people. When we arrived to that particular new city, Navoi, no Seventh-day Adventist presence at all. In 7 years, the Lord blessed us and gave us 140 people. After 7 years, yeah, we had 140 people. But today, we wanted to see what the Lord will always bless us if we will simply go forward. And I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel, because it's a power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. How important for us just to simply pay attention what we need to start to work from our own heart first, from our own home first, from our own family first, and after that from our own church, and after that we need to step to the neighbor's house, and maybe after that when we're already involved and work with the neighbors enough, we can look overseas and do something over there too. It means we need to start right from ourselves right here. And if you think what we as a small church over here cannot do too much, you are not, don't underestimate the power of God. You know how much can God can do through you and with his power. And this is what I wanted to share with you, because we live right now, in our days, we live in such a permissive society. Yes, we live in a market economy. Everybody is enjoying themselves and saying, okay, this is our life, and we need to think always about the power, about the money. And we live, yes, no doubt, about we live in permissive society. But every 30 seconds, there is a divorce in America. Every 30 seconds. Every fourth child born in America is born to an unwed mother. Every fourth child. What about AIDS? Oh yes, it's epidemic throughout the whole permissive society in a Christian country. And everybody says, we need to get back. We need to get back to the family values. But nobody really defining the family anymore nowadays. Yes, thousands of years ago, God gave us the Ten Commandments. 10 statutes. 10 values. 10 big commandments. The Ten Commandments are about the only Jews, Muslims, and Christians agree upon. We all agree what the Ten Commandments God gave us personally, and he wrote with his own finger. But we need to remember, this is what the God commanded and gave them as an order to all his family, to the Jewish nation. And this is what he said. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Not on your walls, not someday at the church, but in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and then you walk along the road, when you lay down, and when you get up. This is what the Lord is so openly sharing with Moses, and Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, passed it to all the others. Do you know 10 commandments? How many of you will raise your hand and say, okay, I can just easily quote them from my heart, all 10 commandments? Great. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Who else? Are we as a Seventh-day Adventist church know the 10 commandments? Oh, yes, absolutely. No doubt. We all know the 10 commandments. We know even how to find them in the Bible, yes? Where can we find them? Exodus chapter 20, yes, Exodus chapter 20. And another place, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Yeah, Exodus is quite interesting. You see, when they just entered, when they were in the wilderness, God then gave them the Ten Commandments right there when they just left Egypt. 40 years later, when they were passing through all the wilderness over there, when they entered into the promised land, God repeated once again. Repeat it once again. And this is the reason why we have the book of Deuteronomy, which means a repetition of what we already got in the beginning. It's a second time, because we need to remember this. It means if we as a Seventh-day Adventist know where to find them, we know about all the Ten Commandments, do we really live by them? Oh, yes, absolutely. But if you are saying, it's great, brother, I'm not just trying to pick on you only, but so far, I already checked in some other places too, but the people are saying, yes, absolutely, we're living by Ten Commandments. But could you just tell them, recite from your memory? And usually people are having a hard time. How you can live by them if you are not even remembering them? Yeah, we know, we need to pay more attention. It's great, and let us go back to the Ten Commandments and teach our children, and teach our church and ourselves. Because this is what we need to do. Remember the Ten Commandments. Because these Ten Commandments, it's easy to remember them. They are so simple and right to the point. It's just paraphrase of the Ten Commandments. But you see, God gave us 10. And right here, you can see easily, it's amazing what God provided for us. There's one stone, the four commandments over here, showing our relationship with God, and the next six commandments, relationship with man. Simple and clear. It's a vertical and horizontal. This is where we can see the cross. Vertical and horizontal. People to people and relationship with God. Beside this, this is quite interesting too. What God said to us, "What do not worship other gods, do not make idols, do not misuse the name of God in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. And after that, honor your father and mother. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet." What, when we will just look right here on the 10th commandment, what does it mean, do not covet? So often, our teenagers and our people are usually kind of slightly missing this commandment and even not paying enough attention to this particular commandment because they're saying, okay, it's kind of understandable. But in reality, we all live in the sinful world where Satan is attacking us so badly, especially when he's using always the 10 commandments as the first commandment. And this is what I'm trying to say here. What Satan put it, this whole 10 commandments in upside down way and made the 10 commandments as the first. Because people are paying attention right now more to the money, to the treasure, to the authority, to the power. Do not covet. People are always coveting toward everything what is in a neighbor's house over there. The grass is always greener. It's always nicer to have something better in our yard. My dear wife, but she always said, look at the neighbors. Look at what they're doing. Okay, we need to have the same flowers too. Great, nice. But I'm trying to remind you about the 10th commandment. She said, yes, I understand, but I love those flowers. Great. Okay, we need to remember, why did God give the 10 commandments? He gave him the two tablets of testimony. And God did personally, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. By the finger of God. Throughout the whole 66 books in the entire Bible, we have only this particular passage where God is inscribing himself personally. Yes, you can say in two other places too. Yes, it's in the book of Daniel, when we can see how two Belshazzars met right in the one room, and Daniel came and started to interpret many tekel per scene right on the wall over there. And the third story we have in the Bible, when they brought the woman to Jesus, and Jesus started to write right on the sand. But it was not so vivid over there what Jesus was doing. At least we know the story and the fact. But right here, God wanted for you and me to remember these 10 simple and great commandments. At least, all these commandments, you see, why did God give us even the 10 commandments? He gave them not to hurt us, simply but to help us. Not to hamper us, but to release us. Not to punish, but to protect us. When I tell a child, don't touch the hot stove, I'm doing that for their good or for my good? For their good, absolutely. I'm doing that only for theirs. And every time God says, don't, if in the Bible it says don't, God gives us a promise as the next step right here. Always, if you ignore them, it simply they will hurt you. If you ignore them, you will hurt yourself. You see, we have natural laws which God created, like the law of gravity, powerful law. And if you will ignore that law, it means it will simply just hurt you. I remember when we were with my boys kind of trying to swim at Richardson. Yeah, it was a long time ago, actually. But so far, my David, yeah, he pulled one of the big rock, huge, humongous rock, right from the bottom of the ocean over there and tried to pull it up. And that law of gravity worked on him so amazingly, but it just smashed him back over there under the ocean and said, oh, Daddy, it hurts, absolutely, because it's a law of gravity. It always hurts. Yes. But we need to remember what God designed the whole entire universe, and they're all working under the certain laws and regulations. It means when you are not working with them, it will certainly hurt you. What can you see on this picture? Car crash. Car accident, yes. But it's quite amazing, you see. God has lined up the universe by the universal laws. There are certain physical laws, and the universe operates like in this example, woman survived a car crash right here. People already called 911, the ambulance is on the way, everybody is just trying to be right in time and right in place over there. But at that particular moment, do you know what she's thinking in her mind? How do I look? Yes. It's exactly what she's doing. And when I showed that picture to my wife, she said, it's exactly, yes, it's exactly what a woman can think about when all those guys are going to come right now. How do I look at that moment? You see, because it's a universal law. This is how God created you and me in a special way, as woman and man, in a different way, in a special way. Because it seems like we have this a dilemma. Due to the way how man is thinking and woman is thinking, how they're approaching a different situation. And once again, I wanted to show you, I already shared with you a couple of times, but once again, I wanted to remind you what so often in families we have disagreements, we have misunderstanding. And I'm talking about our own families or the family in the church setting. When we have disagreements, because God created us in an amazing and a unique way. You see, some of us are quite active in the left side of the brain or the right side of the brain. And simply when we are misunderstanding each other, we simply need to keep this in mind. What this individual with whom I am talking at this particular moment right now, he is designed and created by God himself. And God allowed for him to use mostly for him right side of the brain or left side of the brain. Look at this. Yeah, for example, most of the men usually using left side of the brain, up to 80%. I'm not saying all of the men, up to 80. Most of the women usually using mostly right side of the brain, which is more responsible for the art, poetry, music. While most of the men, they have usually kind of, if they're left brain dominant, they're more logical, more office managers, more for the particular function, just to be responsible for the certain things. And now, as we already talked with you previously, the connections over here between these two brains, it's quite amazing. What in the man's brain, it's only 47 grams. In the woman's brain, it's 250 grams. And why? Because, you see, all the ladies, they can easily interact from the left side to the right, easily. Because all the connectors, they're quite interacted quite quick. It doesn't mean what who is smarter and who is not. Please. Yeah, simply because for the men, they're more logical and more staying only with their own points. And so hard to change them sometimes. Yes, ladies? So hard. Because they're only just in one side of the brain. Great. Because God designed them in such a special way. Because they try to come, put everything like in a shelves over here, according to what we can see right here, like office managers. You see, because for the man, if he did certain things as a job, he finalized his job, he closed the closet, and he's out. It means when you are running toward the church service in the morning, and you already closed your office, and everything is clear, you are sharp, you're in tie, you're great, you're ready for the church, you are going right straight to the church. Why are you waiting for your wife? Why is she not ready yet? Because her mind is and brain is acting differently. God created and designed her absolutely in different laws and regulations. She's still thinking because in her mind, everything is working, operating slightly in a different way. Because she's thinking, what about all those leftover food, dishes, house, children, everything. For the man, he closed his shelf and he's ready to go. Everything is already done. But not for her. Because she's designed differently by God himself. In this manner, we need to remember what we need simply to learn how we can communicate with each other and learn another language of communication. Where we simply could ask, and man should ask his wife, how can I help you? Instead of just say, go to the car, we're already late. Look, how can I help you? Experience the holiness in the Sabbath. Enjoy the fellowship. And ask more questions. Because all often, ladies, this is what you're thinking in your mind. What he understands what you're thinking in your mind. It's never happening this way. Men are so simple. We don't understand everything what you are thinking in your mind. Because you are imaginative. You are thinking what he's supposed to understand what you already have in your mind. No, not at all. You need to explain to him what you are trying to achieve, what you're trying to accomplish. And it's absolutely okay because God created us in such a different manner and different way in order for us to be complete to each other. When God created Adam, he said Adam is not complete, yes? And he gave him a helper. And this is the reason why, as a family, we need to help one another. not to judge, not to accuse, because every one of us created in the image of God, and we need to help one another. God designed the whole universe by the special laws, universal laws. And likewise, this is the spiritual laws. God says, these are tracks by which you need to run. This is the Ten Commandments which I give it to you. If you will break them, you are not simply breaking the Ten Commandments. They're breaking you. Let me show you what we have here in the country of freedom. Such a great privilege when in Ten Commandments, when in, I think it's South Carolina, they built there one of the biggest Ten Commandments in the world. God says, these are the tracks by which you can run. And right here, we can read, the Church of God of Prophecy knew this full well when they built a field of the wood in 1945, the largest Ten Commandments. It's a centerpiece of the world's largest Ten Commandments, 300 feet wide, tablex occupying a mountainside. Though it is tucked into the extreme and obscure western corner of North Carolina, it's North Carolina, the immersed tablets are visible from orbit and heaven. It's quite nice what they built, these Ten Commandments, even for the God to see them, right from heaven and from the universe. Praise be to the Lord. But the Lord Jesus many years ago wrote them, all the stone Ten Commandments, with his own finger for you and me to remember them, to memorize them, to put them right in the front of our lobe over here and remember them and practice them and experience them in real practice. Because we've been living in this particular country where it's such a permissible society. Everything is permissible. Everything is allowed to do. You know what the psychiatrists are saying right now? On those 60s and 70s, we had no boundaries at all. People did whatever they want. And everybody grew up during that time, do whatever they want. And they're saying, we need boundaries in our days because we are reaping what we sow. Look at all the generation right now, what is happening in the world. And no wonder we really need to pay attention to what the Bible is telling us to do. The foundation for the strong family could be only if we will follow the Ten Commandments. And now I'm inviting you. How many of you received the sermon outline? Sermon outline. Use pencils or pen. Sermon outline. If some of you didn't receive, I have one extra over here. I think I still had that over here. Yes, Marina, it's for you. You shall have no other gods before me, the first commandment. And the principle, which is right from God, put God first. You have that right in your sermon outline. Yes? Okay, put God first. Because God created you, he designed you, he knows what is best for you, what is better for you. And this is what we need to do, put God first in your life. He hadn't made you just for you to enjoy your life here because everything is about God, not about you. He's your Father and he's your Creator. And you know, God, if he designed and created you in a special way, simply pay attention toward his regulations, his commandments, his suggestions to you and enjoy life to the fullest. It's quite interesting to notice, what does it mean to have no other gods before me? No other gods? The word gods is written with a small g. He's not talking about the God. He's talking about little gods. What is actually God? A God is anything that dominates you in your life. Anything that controls your life. Can a career be a God? Oh, absolutely, it can. Can a golf or any kind of sport could be a god for you? Yes, I know what some people are really enjoying that particular sport. It's great. I really enjoyed that the other night with my boys, and I found out, wow, it's amazing how people are spending thousands and thousands of money just to enjoy that particular sport. Great. Maybe it's once in a while, but not every time. What about everyday household TV viewing in America? Children are spending up to 8 hours a day in the United States. And this is who is brainwashing washing their brains with the TV and TV information. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Once again, we as a parents need to pay attention and teach our children the Ten Commandments and regulations and provide for them something else instead of for them to watch TV all day long. Recently, I was visited a family who built their own house, and I talked to the man, and he's proudly pronounced, "Oh, if a foundation is wrong, it doesn't matter how pretty the structure is, it's going to fall over." And he said, "I put it here, strong concrete foundation." Great. And I said, very wise, sir. Right, these words are right from the Bible." He said, no, I'm not reading the Bible." He was not a believer. His wife, yes. But actually, I said, "Oh, you just quote the Bible. It's exactly what the Bible is telling us. We need to lay a strong foundation in order for us to have a clear and a good relationship with God." And actually, a few days later, I received a phone call from his wife. And she asked me, "Pastor, what did you say to my husband?" I said, "I don't remember. What did I say?" "No, now I notice what he's kind of trying to find something in the Bible. He opened the Bible and he's reading the Bible." I said, "Oh, how nice. Praise be to the Lord. It's great." You see, you know, today in the United States, families are dropping like flies. They're falling apart faster when we can even just put them together. There are so many marriages are crumbling and breaking down. Why? Simply because we live in a society where we are not laying a strong, serious foundation right from the beginning. And it doesn't matter how pretty you are, how much money you put into this. Just in a teenager's class, we learned today what somebody is going to marry quite soon. It's going to be somebody in England, yes? King is going to marry quite soon over there. It's going to be a special wedding, huge party. But it doesn't matter how much money you put into your wedding. It means under what foundation you're laying your wedding in your life. What foundation? And maybe some of you say, Pastor, what should we do now? Yes, you're absolutely right. Good question. What should we now? If you laid a foundation already in the wrong way right from the beginning, I just wanted to assure you simply, it's never too late. It says in the Bible, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me." Yes, it will be a little bit complicated. It will be a little bit rough. It will be not easy to lay another foundation, but it's possible. It's possible with the Lord Jesus Christ to lay another foundation for His glory. Because it says, His promise is right here. "In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." What a privilege we have to know what He will make our path straight. In Andrews University, they did a survey recently. Marriages where the wedding is in the church service, the divorce rate is 1 out of 50 marriages. In marriages where they married in a Christian ceremony and they go to the church every week, read the Bible, pray together, the divorce rate is 1 out of 1,152 marriages. What will we say about that? It's simply, the answer is quite simple. If you pray together, you will stay together. If you pray together, you will stay together. How do I put God first in my life? I recently found this nice acrostic according to the word first. And I would like for you just to go quickly, and thus we will divide this word first on our letters and find out what the F will stay for. It's the finances. Oh, yes, finances. It says right in the book of Proverbs over here, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of your income. By first part of your income. And He will fill your barns to overflow. God says, give me the first part. Actually, this is one of the hardest ones. This is what Satan is using according to the 10th commandment, as we already checked. It's quite obvious when God is trying to test you and me, He's asking us to return, to trust, and to give God the some finances which we are receiving. God says, what your checkbook reveals, what's really important to you. And let me ask you, if you will get your checkbook out and give it right to the left or to the right or to your neighbors and ask them, okay, check my checkbook and see how I'm spending. Nobody will like that. Because usually people are trying to hide that, how I'm spending all my money. And even we have that word over here, quite interesting word. It says confidential. Have you ever heard that? Confidential. And people, what are they trying to hide? Usually the people don't want to anybody to see how I'm spending what I'm receiving. You know why God even allowed for the Israel nation to have that tithe and offering on those days over there in the wilderness? He wanted for them to see how much he's really blessing them. In order for you to know how much God bless you throughout the whole year, it's so easily to count according on the base of your tithe. And you look at your tithe and say, wow, it's unbelievable. Praise be to the Lord. Yes, I haven't seen those money. They're coming and going. It's like but in the same time, it's amazing how God is blessing us. And by the tithe, it's always amazing to see all the blessings which you're receiving from the Lord. Tithe, it's simply your dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of how the $50 bill looks like in the church? And somebody, I personally heard that. When the elderly lady was putting the $50 bill, people, wow, look at you. Good donation. But compare that to the local grocery store. How much money are you spending there? Easily over $100. Depends when what you are buying, yeah, easily. And everybody is okay with that. And how much we are willing to donate to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Creator. Yes, I remember when I read the story, and my boys, they found a picture for me. A family was going home from the church, and the father was complaining about the service. The sermon was too long. The music was too loud. Oh, no. The room was too hot. And he was grumbling and complaining about everything, what was happening at the church. And his son was sitting in the back saying, Dad, I think it was not such a bad show just for a buck. It was not such a bad show just for $1. It's still a nice show. Great when we have shows at the church just only for $1. My dear beloved, we need to remember what the Lord is asking us to do. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of your income. And the next text is saying the purpose of tithing is to teach you put God first in your lives. Beside this is what we need to do. It's supposed to be done right from the beginning. If somebody will tell you if anywhere in the Bible you will find anything about the first day of the week, yes, now we can see it clearly. What something it says about the first day of the week. It says collect your money from the beginning of your week, from Sunday, from the first day of the week, and prepare them toward the Sabbath. And say, okay, today is the first day toward the Sabbath, second day toward the Sabbath, third day toward the Sabbath. This is how the Jews counted their days. This is the fourth day, fifth day, and now the Sabbath. Let's enjoy it. Okay, the interest. What is the interest stand for? It's I for interest. Whatever you do, do it all for the God's glory. Does that include going to vacation? Oh, yes, absolutely. You can eat for the glory of God. You can play golf for the glory of God if you are fellowshipping with the others and telling about merciful Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And just do this in a productive manner when you are spending your time. Beside this, you need to remember, always as a Christian, people will notice you, people will admire you and see what you are slightly different compared to the rest of the people in the world, if you will be really dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk with each other much about the Lord. What do you talk about the most? I know people who could talk for hours about the other people's life. For hours. But they cannot talk for 3 minutes about the Lord. Let us talk about our Savior and about the Lord more openly and willingly. R will stand for relationships. Relationships. According to the book of Proverbs, what a man is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. My dear beloved, especially all our young people, I would like for you just to pay attention to this verse. Because it's very important, according to those friends whom you are choosing, it's very important whom you're going to be in the future. In the future, I know some folks, they went through our Christian education, Christian school, then to academy, through the Christian academy, and after that, right now, they are located in those places. Oh, it's so hard even to say. I don't know why, how even they ended up in those places to be there after all this Christian education, because they choose the wrong friends in the wrong time. And I really wish for you guys to choose the right friends in the right time right now. If you would like to date somebody, date at the church. If you would like to see somebody, enjoy the fellowship in the church. Associate with the Christians. Enjoy the fellowship with them. Because in the world, Satan is attacking us so badly over there. You'll be killed easily over there, or they can put you to prison, and you will be destroyed for eternity. Simply enjoy the fellowship right at the church, right here, because the righteous man is always careful. Righteous choose the friends carefully, according to the Proverbs 12:26. Choose friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. He is cautious. The truth is, if you really want God to be first in your life, there are some relationships are dead wrong for you. You need to clarify those relationships and spend enough time as a Christian to be connected with God, be dedicated to God. Because I have seen many times a dynamic Christian get wooed away. Did I say it right? English way? Wooed away. They want to get married. They get wooed away by a person who does not share their values. And you know, they start sleeping with them. And you see their vitality just sap up out of their lives. Choose friends carefully and stay with the Ten Commandments, because they are protecting you and not destroying you. God is really wanted for you to pay attention toward everything what He is providing for you if you will put Him on the first place. S stands for schedule. Put God first in your schedule and in your time. Make the most of your time and grasp firmly to know what you are dedicating your time to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, just even choose the place and location where you can pray and talk to God. And you can be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and see, and this is really my place where I'm praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my location. In my home, I do have a fig tree, which is already producing a nice fig. But so far, it's my place where I'm praying to God. And my family knows. So this is my location. I'm talking to God. And I'm even feeling differently when I'm in that location. Under the fig tree, Nathanael was praying, and I said, why not? To practice here nowadays, because we have a privilege to live in Hawaii, and fig trees are growing over here. Why not to enjoy them? Praise be to the Lord for all the privileges. At least we need to remember what schedule is helping us to dedicate and rededicate our lives to the Lord. Make the best use of your time. Grasp firmly what you know to be the will of the Lord. Ephesians 5:16. 17. As we will look at Jesus, it's amazing to see what even God Himself, Lord Jesus Christ, very early in the morning, He woke up while it was still dark, and Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to the solitary place where He prayed. And we have so many other examples where Jesus prayed Himself. Why? For Jesus, He needed to have this prayer. Oh, He's dedicating His time with His Heavenly Father in order to show us example how we need to live in a prosper life for His glory. Does a maiden forget her jewelry? According to Jeremiah 2:32. It says right here, does a maiden forget her jewelry? A bride her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. It means we are not spending enough time with our God, with our Savior, and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, T, stay for troubles. When you face unexpected problems and pressures, when you have a crisis, what do you usually try to do? People are calling me. Some people are calling in the middle of the night and asking, Pastor, could you pray? Yes, it's understandable, and I'm praying for them. But you know what those people, some of them, I'm not judging them. I'm not just using them as an example, as an illustration. But some of those people, they are not have a daily prayer work with Jesus. And then the crisis is hitting them. They're immediately searching for help. And they are calling for the prayer chain. They're asking everybody to help. But my dear beloved, let us pray daily. Let us rededicate our lives. And then young teenagers and adults, you will be so blessed when you will hear the voice of God. And the God will start talking to you. Be patient and wait for God to respond to your prayer. Because it's an amazing verses we have in the Bible when you will hear the voice of God, when he can just return back to you and say, listen to me. And one of the order here, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. We have so many other verses in the Bible. But as for me and my family, yes, this is what Joshua said. I don't know about you folks, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. When you have some problems, maybe with any kind of circumstance, only just remember the first. It's the first commandment. Put God first in your place. Put God first in any decisions. In any decisions which you would like to make. When you're thinking about finances, remember what God is always willing to help. If you'll just simply not worry about finances, but put God first. If you'll always worry about your relationship, oh, if I'm going to go get married, or what is happening in my family, how is it going to be after that? Please don't worry. Put God first in your life. And after that, all your worries will simply disappear because you have somebody whom you can trust and rely on. What about your relationships? And a problem arose or something. Trials, problems, whatever. Put God first. And you will see what the God will provide for you simply when you will dedicate your time, your schedule, your time which you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you will see how God will give you enough time when you will say, oh, I wanted to do today these 10 things, but I have time only for 5. God will provide you enough time to do only according to His will, according to His plan for that particular day. Remember the text from Matthew 6:33. But seek first. This word first is saying so clearly to all of you and me here, seek first the kingdom of God. It means we need to seek first God Himself and His kingdom. Put Him first in every area of my life and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. What a privilege we have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wanted to have a successful business, if you wanted to organize something special, if you wanted to rededicate your life to Jesus, start first with your God and you will see what you will be abundantly blessed. If you want to build a successful life, a strong family, you've got to have right foundation. You've got to put God first in your life. Think about Jesus. You see, He came to this world to fulfill first the commandments of God. And this is the reason why He died for you and me on the old rugged cross. He came not to demolish them, not to dismiss them, but to fulfill them, all 10 commandments. And this is why He died for you and me and gave us this righteousness, which we have righteousness by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this hope to be in, to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. What a day is going to be when we will see Jesus. My dear beloved, dear teenagers, dear young people, look at all this list of the people. They were not ashamed of God when they stepped forward and they said, Stephen stoned, James beheaded, Matthew killed in Ethiopia, James sailed in pieces, Matthew stoned or beheaded, Andrew crucified, Mark dragged to death, Peter crucified upside down, Jude shot with arrows, Thomas thrust with spear, Luke died by hanging, Philip died by hanging, Simon crucified in Britain, John banished to Patmos. Over 50 million have been killed because they were not ashamed of the gospel. Think about that. And I would like to appeal to our young people this morning. It's so important for you not to be ashamed what you are the Seventh-day Adventist. Not to be ashamed what you are spending time on the Sabbath right here at the church. Because you have no idea right now when you are so young, what you have a worldwide church around the whole world. When I was in your age, I had the privilege to go to New Zealand. Had no money at all, $25 per month. And one of the sponsors from Germany, he called me and he said, I would like to go send you to New Zealand for 3 months. And I will provide a ticket for you. You just need to jump on a plane. I have no English, I have no money. He said, don't worry. We will have Seventh-day Adventists over there. And from that New Zealand, they took me to the Avondale College, to Australia, and showed me that special factory over there. They are producing that peanut butter and some other stuff, which is amazing. And you see what I'm trying to say? I used to live in Uzbekistan, right over there in Asia. And they took me to the south of the world, to Australia and New Zealand, simply because I was poor, I had no money, but because I was believing in God and not ashamed of Him. And God blessed me with the money to travel around the world without money. And now I'm today staying in front of you preaching this gospel for the God's glory, because please don't be ashamed of what you already know. Please enjoy what the Lord providing for you. I really would like for all of us just to see these young people, if they will make a decision tonight, if they will make a decision today, right here. If you can just step forward and say, Lord Jesus, I would like to rededicate my life to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes first, for the Jew and then the Gentile. And according to the Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, for this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. What a day is going to be. Today, it's your time. Today is your time to make a decision. And I would like for the young people and for the adults, for anybody who would like to make a decision today, to come to the front, and I will have a special prayer for you, and we will ask the whole church to stand and raise for the prayer when we will pray for you only. But if you have a desire in your heart and you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and you would like to rededicate your life to Jesus, step forward today, please. And we will have a special prayer for you, because today is the day when you will make a public statement and a public decision for the day of baptism, for the day of the Bible study. And you'll say, Lord, I would like to be rededicated to you, because Jesus is calling to you right now. He's saying, come, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will be gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today is your time when you can make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him, because he is appealing to your heart and inviting all of you to make this decision. Publicly, please stand, or at least raise your hand and say, yes, I would like to follow Jesus. Please come forward, sisters, come forward. We will have a special prayer for you. Yes, everybody who would like to have a special prayer, every one of you who would like to be baptized someday in the future, every one of you who would like to make a decision for the Bible studies, come forward, please. Because this is what we are making decision today right now. My decision for Christ. Brother John. It's nice. Let us see what it says on the screen over here. Yeah, my decision for Christ. It's right here. It says, I want to be bold in sharing the gospel. Yes, you want to be bold in sharing the gospel. All the young people, all the adults, please come forward. We'll have a special prayer for you. If you recently even got baptized and you're not so firm in faith, today is your time, and you can come to the front and we will have a special prayer for you, for your dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to be the Lord, to be the Lord of my life. Today is the time when we would like to dedicate your life to Jesus. Please come forward. It's never too late. And I'm waiting patiently for the old young people and for the adults. This is our time to make a decision for Christ. Please come forward, because the Lord Jesus is waiting you for the special prayer. And maybe you will simply say, I want to be baptized. I would like to dedicate my life to Jesus, because I'm not ashamed of him, because he died for me in the old rugged cross more than 2,000 years ago. And today I'm simply alive and receiving the breath and enjoying the sunshine because of my merciful God and Savior. Today is your time. Please come forward. The Lord Jesus is appealing to all of us. If you have any questions, please call me. And I just even put it here, the cell phone. I'm not afraid of any minutes over here on the cell phone. You can call me anytime, and we will talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We will pray for Jesus. We will enjoy the fellowship with Jesus, because this is your time. Yes, young people, come forward. They're waiting for you. Yes, come forward. We will have a special prayer for you. Brother Mahal, come forward with you, with your family. Yeah, we will have a special prayer for you. Yes, who else would like to come? All the young and the bold girls, please come forward. We'll have a special prayer for you. Yes, right now it's a time for prayer. And as we will right now have this special prayer, I would like for the whole church to stand and to be prepared as we will dedicate these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, please. Every one of us who would like to come and join us here front, this is your time. It's never too late. Yes, please. Come to the front. We would like to rededicate our lives to Jesus. we would like to dedicate our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our time right now. If you are capable, I would like for all of us to kneel down, and we will talk to Jesus. Our merciful and wonderful Heavenly Father, you created us. You brought us into this world. You gave us unique name. You gave us unique eye print, fingerprints, toe prints, heartbeat. Everything what we have, dear Lord, it's yours. And we enjoy life here in this world. Because of you, dear Lord, we are saved. Because of your grace and your mercy, you will lie for us to spend eternity with you. And now you're preparing for us your mansions and your homes. Oh, dear Lord, you are busy because of us. You're preparing a place for us. Oh, Lord, help us to be bold enough. Help us to be not ashamed of you. Help us not to be ashamed of your power and your grace and your mercy. Oh, dear Lord, I am praying for all the teenage kids here at the Puna Church. I am praying for the young kids. I am praying for the youth. And I am praying for the adults. And for everyone who made a decision and boldly stepped forward for you, because they are not ashamed of you. They would like to follow you all the way. Dear Lord, they would like to be baptized. They would like to experience Bible studies. And they would like to be rededicated to you. Oh, dear Lord, please bless them in your special way, in your amazing way. Bless their hearts, and bless their feelings, and bless their whole body for your glory. And bless the whole church, dear Lord. And especially bless those, dear Lord, who didn't make that public decision right now. And maybe they are still among the congregation here. But down deep in heart, they have a desire to follow you and make a decision to completely be yours and rededicate their lives to you. Oh, dear Lord, touch their hearts and use their minds and open to them, dear Lord, and reveal to them the whole truth, because how much you're really loving them. You came into this world to die for us, and, dear Lord, you shed your blood for us to show us an example how much you're really loving us. Bless us, dear Lord. Bless the Puna Church. And bless the special people who publicly dedicated their lives to you. Help us as a church to support them, to pray for them, give them Bible study, and prepare for them for their special baptism. And help us as a family, as a church family, to support, sustain, and help one another. Help us, dear Lord, to put you first in our lives and have a clear relationship with one another. We ask in everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.